Welcome to Strong Faith Fit Life, the weekly-ish podcast where we explore the intersection of faith and health to help you build strength from the inside out. My name is Deborah. Welcome to the show. Episode 32, R is for realistic. Today we are talking about the R from the grace-filled method, and we're going to discuss a little bit about what it means to be realistic. Have you ever had a dream? Not the Martin Luther King type of a dream, but the one that transcends the sleep world, but the fantastic kind that is just otherworldly and only in your dreams. You may have soared from the highest heights, scaled a mountain, gotten into the college of your dreams, or won a Nobel Prize. Some of us may have faced the other kind of dreams that are also pretty prevalent, the falling dream. And these are literal dreams, you guys. Okay. The need to use the bathroom but can't, or having to take a test and failing. Whatever your dreams are, when you wake up, you're faced with reality. The truth is, you are asleep in your own bed, in your own home, doing normal human stuff. Receiving coaching is often like waking up. You're given a dose of reality from someone with experience and an external viewpoint. When it comes to things like weight loss, getting healthy, competitions, you need someone to set up realistic goals and dreams to help you achieve what it is that you want. Have you ever grossly underestimated the time that it takes to achieve a goal or maybe do a project? I know I have. One of my favorite memes that goes around the internet is the one that says, "I've eaten a salad and worked out today. Why can't I see abs?" And it makes me laugh so much because when it comes to life goals, it seems like once we start making an effort, we should see results. Like if I eat a salad and work out, yeah, I want to see some results. And I don't want to be disappointed by doing a little bit of work and not seeing the results. And this all reminds me of one of my favorite habit books called The One Thing. The author gives an amazing analogy using dominoes. And he says you can tip over a small domino, and it doesn't seemingly make that big of a difference. But that small domino tips into a slightly larger domino, and then a slightly larger one, and then a slightly larger one, and so forth and so on, until all of a sudden you've tipped over and maybe you've reached your goal, or maybe you've even exceeded your goal. And I love the analogy of the first domino. It's not that the domino is so small that you can tip it over with a single finger. It's actually kind of large. It takes a lot of effort to get that first domino moving. It's heavy. Okay. And I like that because when it comes to wellness goals, you don't just wake up one morning and change how you're eating, add in some exercise, and voila, you are where you want to go. There's an old poster. I'm going to use it. I really hate this phrase. It's a journey. And I say I hate this phrase because everyone uses it. It's a journey. It's a journey to this. It's a journey to that. The truth is, it kind of is. Just like the dominoes, it's sort of hard to get the first big ball moving. But then as we do, it gets easier and easier to make large or smaller, but larger perceptible changes. And I'm going to explain this really quick. Okay, so first domino, I like to always say that it's very small, but it's very heavy because any object that's heavy and at rest takes a lot of energy to start the ball rolling. But once it is moving, you can actually keep that ball moving with a little bit of effort. You know, you still have to push it, otherwise it will stop. But starting it is harder. So we use momentum to keep things going. And a lot of the folks that I work with are neurodiverse. So myself, I have ADHD. And everyone says, when you feel motivated. And I'm going to be honest, I rarely feel motivated to do anything. Fascinated, yes. Motivated to do something, no. It becomes the choice to push myself to say, I'm going to do this next thing. And we have to do the same thing with our fitness and wellness goals. It's a choice. We have to keep that ball moving. Once it's moving, it's a lot easier to keep going because after a certain period of time, it becomes habit. And then once a firmly established habit is there, we have to make sure we focus on what happens when we stop. Do we revert to the old habit and stay, or do we revert to the new habit and stay there. And again, this kind of comes back into our little domino method and our ball method here of like, once we're moving, it's easier to stay and then change. And eventually you're going to get something tangible. I was just saying this to you guys, and I was picturing making a snowman with my kids. And I remember the first time they saw snow. Now, I want to just tell you guys, like, my kids were born on Okinawa. We spent 99% of our time at the beach. It's beautiful. The winters are 65. I find 65 freezing. It's currently 37 or 39 here. 37. And I can't handle it. It's so cold. And I remember the first time I showed them snow, and my husband and I were with them, and we were like, we're going to build a snowman. And we've got this, you know, you have to make a snowball, like a tiny snowball. It's not really a big snowball, but you make this tiny snowball. And the kids wanted to shortcut it and like pile all the snow into one area. And when you start piling all the snow into one area, but you go to set the next snow pile on that snow pile, well, it all falls apart because you didn't take time to build the foundation. And that's why that domino, that first domino, is so heavy, so hard to push, because you are spending a lot of time creating a good, solid, tight foundation. That's the center of your snowball. And then as you start pushing the snowball in the snow, it begins to collect other pieces of snow. It gets bigger, bigger, and bigger, and bigger until you have the base of an incredible snowman. My kids were super fascinated by this. I'm going to be honest. They were just overwhelmed by the fact that this little tiny snowball we started could become something so big and so stable. And to be honest, I have one of those who's like, I'm gonna kick it down. And he wanted to see if he could break it, and he couldn't. And he was making little teeny chips out of this big thing. And it's because we had established such a tight foundation, firm foundation, that he couldn't just beat up and knock that snowman down. And this is what we're looking for when it comes to our goals. Most of us have this lofty view. We can see the end, the vision at the end. We can see the biggest domino tipped over. We can see the snowman in full snowman awesomeness. But what we don't realize is that the most powerful tool is sitting at the center of that snowman, and it is the firm foundation. And this is why it's so important to have a coach that helps you set realistic goals. Some folks, and I'm going to say like myself included, I want to run a marathon. Great. That's the end goal. Okay. So I picked this training program. It was pretty aggressive. And about 13 or 14 weeks into it, I got hurt really badly. And it was because I was overtraining. I was overtraining without any support. I didn't know what I did. I managed to actually pull my back out of place. It caused all kinds of craziness. And I was on my own doing my own thing. And if I had had a coach, that coach would have seen what I was doing and said, hey, we need to slow down. Hey, you need some recovery time. Hey, you need to stretch. But all I could see was my end goal, and I was running full tilt towards it. And then there's nothing worse than running full tilt towards a goal and then becoming injured, having knee pain or back pain or hip pain or leg pain. And all of a sudden you're out for an indeterminate amount of time. And this is what coaching is about. It's about knowing what the end goal is, but helping you set realistic goals based on where you are currently. In the fitness world, we call them SMART goals. So they're specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based. In the real world, we also know humans aren't machines. You can't just input information, set a time frame, and expect the results that you want to come exactly how you want them to. We're not baking cookies. However, it doesn't stop us from setting SMART type goals. And the reason we still set them with a coach is because they are adjustable. And I wish they could be SMART A goals. SMART, that final one would be adjustable. Understanding that illness happens, sometimes we're just not ready. Sometimes we have mental blocks and internal blocks that are way too significant that we didn't realize until we were 14 weeks into training. We have things that are going on, and we need to focus on those, and we need to have somebody who says, hey, come on back just a little bit. You've bitten off more than you can chew, and you're going to have unintended consequences. So when you're looking for a coach, you want somebody who is going to set realistic goals. And that's why you're here with me today, because I love realistic goals. I also love adjustable goals because I understand that sometimes the target is a moving target. Sometimes we sign up for a race, thought we were going to do it, then we can't travel and we just need to make some adjustments. Sometimes we thought we were going to compete and then we got something like COVID and it takes us out for a year. I know you guys have heard me talk about that. There are all kinds of things that come in to play when we're working towards a goal. But the key thing here is we never want to stop pushing. We just need someone to help us make adjustments so they stay realistic. Hey, if you joined the if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to follow the show so you can get notified when I drop a new episode. You can also join me in the Facebook group, Strong Faith, Fit Life. I hope to see you there. Until next time, bye.